Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Student Investor Podcast with Ivan Sambo. And today we have an exciting topic to discuss. We'll be diving deep into the world of company research and how to make an informed decision before investing into any company, whether it's the JSE or the New York stock market. Before we begin, let me emphasize that researching a company is a crucial step in your investment journey or process. It helps us understand the company's fundamentals, potential risks that we may face, as well as it helps us identify the growth potential that such a company may have. So never underestimate the importance of you spending time doing research. I know when we say research and read up on a company, it may sound like a lot of things to do. But on today's episode, I hope by the end of it, you'll be able to understand what to look for, what type of information must you search, and what does it mean, that information. I'm trying to keep this podcast or this episode as simple as possible and as short as possible. So I'll be covering the fundamental important aspect of doing research on a specific company. Then the other things as well we'll cover as we go along with this podcast. I will have other episodes where we go into more depth about the idea of researching a company. So without wasting any time, let's get into this episode. Welcome to the Student Investor Podcast with Ivan Sambo, the podcast that focuses on starting a conversation about money, investing, growing your career, and being a young person in South Africa. Our goal is to simplify the conversation so that we can all learn and grow as young people in South Africa. When I did the intro, I forgot the magic words. Hello, future millionaires and billionaires. Welcome to another episode of the Student Investor Podcast. You see, now it sounds proper. It sounds like we are ready to dive deep into today's episode. So before we get into the idea of researching a company in the JSE, I want to remind you of something. I know I spoke about this in previous episodes, but as an investor, before you even think about the idea of wanting to research a company, wanting to invest into any specific company, I want to remind you of the importance of you as an investor being able to understand your own risk tolerance before diving into the stock market. As an investor, investing in individual companies, when you talk about individual companies, we are talking about you buying shares of ShopRite, you buying shares of Tesla, because those we call them individual companies. When you buy bonds, you buy ETF, those are not individual stocks, right? So before you invest into individual stocks, you need to understand that individual stocks carry a huge amount of risk. And because of that, you need to understand your own risk tolerance before even trying to invest in individual companies. You need to understand your risk tolerance because you will be able to make a safe and wise decision on which stock to invest into. And when you understand that you have a low risk tolerance, you can't afford to lose a majority of your money or huge amount of your money you're investing, then you need to make a wise decision and say, hey, individual companies are not for me. I'm going to invest into ETF. I am going to invest into the retail savings bond. I'm going to reinvest in something much more safer than individual companies. Because you know me, guys, I don't want to lie to you. I tell you the truth. And the truth is that individual companies in the JSE or in the New York stock market can go south like no one's business. They can drop by 80%, by 40%, by 50%. Sometimes they even drop by 90%. It's not me scaring you. It's me telling you the reality of what you're getting yourself into. Financial experts always recommend investing only money you can afford to lose. This is the truth. This is reality. I'm not trying to lie. And money that you won't need in the short term. So as an investor, before we even talk about researching companies, understand that I am investing money I won't need in the short term. I'm investing money that I can afford to lose it. And when you say afford to lose it, I'm telling you to say, how much of that money are you willing to lose in the GSM? So if you're willing to, you list, this is my own methodology, right? This is my own scale I've created. I always say this: if you're willing to lose 20% and below of your money, don't buy individual stocks. Don't buy ShopRite. Don't buy PPC Cements. Don't buy any individual company. I always say this to my friends when we have a conversation. If you are willing to lose only below 20% of your money, meaning 20%, 19% going down, buy ETF, buy retail savings bond, you are a conservative person. If you are 40 and below, you are moderate. You can buy individual companies, but stay with blue chip companies. Stay with companies that are already established. Stay with your Coca-Cola's, your Absa Bank, your Capitec, your RMBs. Stay with those companies that already are established, big names that they can't fail because they're too big, right? And if you can lose 40% and above, then you can go all out. You can be an aggressive investor. You can take the risk. I always say that to my friends, my colleagues, when you have conversation about investment. And also, do not invest money that you're planning to use in the short term. Whether it's money that you're saving up to pay a deposit for a brand new car, or money that you're saving for your kids' education in the future, rather take that money, put it in a high yield interest savings account than to put it in the stock market. Please, please, please understand that. The reason I'm putting this here in the intro before we even go deep into how to research companies, because I want us as investors to be cautious, to make wise decisions. Remember, here at the Student Investor Podcast, we are not about lying. We are not about fooling each other, telling each other nice stories, lullabies, kumbaya, my lord. We are not about that. We are about reality. We are about facing facts. The stock market is not a child's play. We lose money. We see growth. We see profit. We see loss. That's the reality. And if you want, you can't lose 20% of your money, please consider ETF. Consider a safer investment than individual companies in the stock market. So that's out of the way. Now let's talk about how to understand a company's finances when doing research. It's not enough to just know a company and know about their products and services they offer, right? I know when I did episode, I think it was episode 4, if not episode 3, yeah? I said when you start investing, look at companies that you know. You know their services, you know their products, right? I said that and I stand by that. But that's not enough. You also need to understand the finances of a specific company you're investing into. And when you're doing research, obviously you pick a company because you understand the product and service they're offering, right? So now you want to go deeper into it, and now you want to look into the finances. And how does the company make money is the first thing you need to look into, right? To gain insight into a company's finances, you can evaluate their annual report first. You need to look into their annual report first. And now, how do you get annual report of a company that you want to invest into? By law, any company listed in any stock market is obliged or is obligated to publicly declare and provide their report, their financial report, free of charge in their website. And now, how do you find this report in the website? The most simplest way to find a company's report is to go to Google, right? And Google the words. For example, let's say you want to find the financial report of ShopRite. Guys, I'm going to use ShopRite the entire episode as an example. Please forgive me. I'm not promoting ShopRite. I'm not even a shareholder of ShopRite. So I'm just using it because it's on top of my head right now. So when you do want to find the financial report of ShopRite, you will go to Google. And please stop correcting me that I'm mispronouncing the word Google. I am Swati. I say Google. You go to Google, right? You Google the word ShopRite Investor Relation on the search tab, right? On the search engine. And it's typically the first The first link that will show up is their investor relation. You go there and you click in it and you find all the reports that you need. All the financial reports and integrated reports, anything that you need about ShopRite, you'll get it in their investor relation tab or financial or investor relation portal, basically, right? So now when you're in, when you dive into the company's finances, what must you look into? It's easy to get overwhelmed by the numbers. When you get that report, you can easily feel threatened by the huge numbers that you'll see there. To make things simple for you, I have six key things that I want you to look into when you're reading a financial report. I will break them down, what they mean, so that you understand them, and I will explain why they are so important to look into. First one, you need to look, when you read a financial report, I know they'll have the chairperson statements are there, they'll have the CEO report, all of those things there. You can read them, I recommend you read them, but the five financial things, or six financial things that you need to look into in that report are as follows. Number one, revenue. Revenue is the amount of money a company earns during a specific period, right? Let's say ShopRite end of the year is June, right? So from June 2022 to June 2023, that will be their financial year of their financial year, right? So they'll give you the revenue they have earned during that time, that financial year of them. And it represents the total sales or income generated by the company, a company's product or service they're offering, right? And it's often referred to as the top line. And that's technical accounting words, guys. I'm not a technical accounting person. The reason they call it the top line number is because typically it's on the top of the statement. It's the first number that you see. A revenue, guys, is important because it gives us the overview of how well the company is performing. So now this is the intro. Basically, the revenue is the intro into the financial behavior or financial performance of a company that you are researching. So you need to know what is the revenue this company is making. The second you get that number, I always say, as I said before, it's on top, right? The second you get that number, you see it. The next thing that you need to look into is the net income. And remember, write down that net revenue number. Don't forget it. And now you go to look into the net income. The net income is the total amount of money a company has earned after deducting all its operational expenses, tax, and any other deduction that needs to happen from the revenue. So net income, they subtract from the net income, right? So from the revenue, to get net income, they subtract operational expenses, tax, and any other deduction that needs to be deducted from the revenue, and they get what is called the net income of the company. It sometimes is called the bottom line, opposite of the revenue, because it appears at the bottom of the income statement of the specific company you are researching. Net income guys, English, this language is not mine. It's not mine. You know that. net income reflects the company's profitability. That's why it's important. So when you're doing research, you look into the net income because it reflects whether this company you are researching is profitable or not. And it tells us how much profit is left after the expenses have been accounted for in the business. So when you get there, you see the net income is negative, you must run. You must run like an ANC comrade being asked about service delivery. You must run. You must run. Because it shows that, hey, the company you're looking into is 10 past 4 in the hour. So that's the second thing that you need to look into in the financial statement. The third thing that you need to look into in the financial statement or in the income statement is this thing called earning per shares, EPS. EPS. You need to look into what is called the EPS. In that income statement, look for an EPS, earning per share. Earning per share is the measurement, guys, of the company's profitability on a per share basis. It is calculated basically by dividing the company's net income by the number of outstanding shares of its stock, right? So income per share helps us as investors to compare by profitability of different companies more easily. So basically, once you get this number, right, you get this earning per share number, you look at it. I typically look at the earning per share number and I go look into the earning per share number of the competitors of this company I'm investing into. Meaning, for example, if I'm buying shares of ShopRite, I'll look at the earning per share of ShopRite. I'll go look at Standard Bank, of Pick and Pay. I'll go look at Woolworths, right? So I can compare, because ShopRite is competing with Woolworths and it's competing with Pick and Pay, right? So I'll compare the two, see how both of them are doing in terms of their earning per share number, right? Now we're going to number four. And number four, when you're still there in the financial statement of that company, right, which you got from the investor relation portal, you look at the earning, and so the price earning ratio, right? It is important to look at the price earning ratio for this reason. The price earning ratio is basically the valuation metric, that not metric, I think whole English today, guys, is language. Basically, the price earning ratio is a valuation that shows us that how much investors are willing to pay for each rand of the company's earning. It's basically, it's calculated by dividing the company stock price by the earning per share, right? And the price per earning indicate the market perception of the company's future earning potential. Today, guys, English is not on my side. You'll forgive me. A higher price earning ratio suggests that investors are more likely to invest on the company and they're seeing and expecting the company's future earning to grow, basically. So the higher the number is, the higher the PE ratio is. But when I say PE, I'm meaning price earning ratio is, the higher investors are expecting the company's future earning to grow, basically. The fifth thing that we need to look into as investors when researching a company and going through their finances is what is known as return on equities and return on assets. Return on equity and return on asset basically a measurement of a company's effectiveness in generating profit from the money shareholders have invested into the company, plus as well the company's asset, right? Return on equity is calculated by dividing the company's net income by its shareholders' equity, while as well the return on assets is calculated by dividing the net income by the company's total asset value. Those percentages give us insight into how well does the company utilize its resources to generate profit. Higher return on equity and a higher return on assets value indicate better profitability and effectiveness in using the money investors and the assets of the company have, meaning that is a good company for you to invest into. The higher the return on equity and the higher return on asset is, guys. I know you may think we're talking accounting, but yeah, we're dealing with investment, guys. Yeah, so when it comes to investment as well, we need to look into this type of things as well. The last thing as well as you need to look into, right, when you're dealing with finance, we're still with finances, guys, we still have to go into other aspects as well. The other thing as well as you need to look into here is the idea of the debt to equity ratio as well. You need to look into that, because you can't have a company that has, for me, my point of view, this is my opinion, right, I don't like investing to a company where the debt of the company is nearly 80% of the equity of the company. I want the company's debt to equity ratio to be low. I always love it to be under 50%, but if I can take a 60%, I can take a 70% sometimes, but mostly I would love it to be under 50% for me. So that's the last thing that you need to look into, the debt to equity ratio of a company, because it tells you how much of the asset or the value of the company is in debt.
because the more of the company's value is in debt, the more it means this company is not stable and can collapse if it fails to pay their debt. And you will lose your money as an investor. So you need to look into that as well. Understanding those financial metrics which you just talked about, right? Those numbers, those debt to equity ratio, those return on equities, and all of these things we just talked about helps you as an investor to ensure that you assess the company's financial health and its financial profitability and market value. So that when you invest, you fully understand what are you investing into and what is the financial health of the company. Because it doesn't make sense to you to say, hey, I'm investing into Sibanya. Sibanya is looking to go into the battery metal space now and it's going to make profit there. But how is the finances of Sibanya? It may be going to the battery metal space, but is Sibanya in debt? Is Sibanya having a low return on equity? Is Sibanya revenue low? Because all those things will hugely impact Sibanya's performance and Sibanya can collapse. No matter if they're innovative, they're going to the battery metal space now. But if those numbers are not numbering, hey, 10 past 4 in the hour. Now we have dealt with the numbers, the financial statements, and the key things I want you guys to look into when you're reading the financial statement. Let's move away from the numbers. Now let's go into the company's operation and the prosperity of these companies that you are researching to be successful, right? Here are some questions I want you to consider when you're doing research about the company's operation, right? I want you, when you're reading the statement, you're not the financial statement, but looking at the overall statement, right? You're not the financial statement, it's not the financial side of it, but overall the company itself. I want you to ask yourself this following question when you're dealing with the operation of a company. Not the numbers, not the financial side, we're down to the financial side. I gave you 6 things that you need to look into when you're researching a company in terms of finances. Now we're looking into 4 things I want you to ask yourself when you are researching a company in terms of the operation. Number one, how does the company make money? Understand the core business model of the business. And I'm not saying understand it in terms of saying, okay, I'm investing to ShopRite. ShopRite makes money by selling good food in their stores, whatever. I want to understand deeper than that. I want to understand what other forms of earning money is ShopRite doing? What other streams of income is it having? So I want you as well to understand the core business model of each company you want to invest into and ensure it makes sense to you. And when I say it makes sense to you, I want you to be able to explain it to your 14-year-old brother, to your 8-year-old brother, siblings or child or whoever it is. You need to be able to explain how the business you are investing into makes money and what type of core business model does it have. That's the first question to ask yourself when you are researching the company. The second question as well, number of operations you must ask yourself, does the company have a competitive advantage, right? Look for the factor that makes it different from the competitor it has in the field or space it operates in. What makes it surpass the companies that are in the same space, right? What makes it special? What are the strong brand position it has? What innovative business model does it have? What unique way of selling does it have that makes it special, right? For example, we can say, hey, ShopRite, the strong brand position ShopRite it has, that it was one of the first aggressive retail stores to integrate into the township culture and be in the township before Pick and Pay and the others entered. Before even Spar was the thing, Spar was just there in the white suburban area or in the rich area only, but ShopRite was the first one to go to the township. You see, that's the type of things I'm looking to. What as an innovative technology business model is your business that you are researching coming with that makes it special than the competitors, right? If you're looking into banks, what is making Absa better than Standard Bank? What makes Absa better than Nedbank? What strong business innovative brand model do they have that makes them unique? You need to get that. You need to have an answer to that question. right? That's the second question in terms of operation you must ask yourself. The third question that you need to ask yourself in terms of business when you are researching your company that you want to invest into and looking into your operation is, how good is the management team that's leading it, right? Here's something that I typically do myself when I try to get this question. I go to the investor relation portal of the company, right? I get who are in the board of director, I get who's the CEO and all of that. I typically go and research and go to LinkedIn and search the CEO, search the CFO, search the CEO, search the chairperson of the board, right? And look at their past, look at the past company they worked with and go search how to have those companies perform when those people were in charge. Right, because you need to be able to have a leadership that's able to steer the company into the right direction and make informed decisions. So you need to read their words in the transcripts of the company's conference calls and their annual report. Does it give you confidence? Has the companies they've led before performed very well? What was the reason they left those companies? I do all of that. I research that because, remember, a company CEO can collapse it. Some company's chairperson of the board can collapse it. One scandal, one wrong move can collapse an entire company and the share price can go down and you may lose everything. So that's the question to ask yourself. The third question in terms of operation is to ask yourself, how good is the management team? And access and evaluate that answer. Able to get a direct answer to that. The fourth question that you need to have to ask yourself when researching a company of operation is, what could go wrong? I know that question sounds so vague, but you need to identify potential risks and challenges that could affect the company's long-term growth and consider scenarios or strategies, scenarios that are likely to happen, right? Challenges, it can be challenges in leadership, emerging competitors, or advantages in technologies that they are not taking into account and they're ignoring and their competitors are taking into account. You need to look at that as well. Another thing as well, what I also used to do, I know now it's hard to do this, but I used to look at what other four other companies that are in the same space, same sector as the one I'm researching have failed before and what led them to fail. Because one thing about humanity, history repeats itself. So I used to do that and I still do that in other companies, but in some new innovative companies that are new in the space, it's hard to do that because you find that they're in a sector that just just popped up themselves and found a gap in the market. So there's no history to look into companies that were in the same space like them. But that's something I do. I go to companies that are in a space that has already existed for a long time. For example, mining. What other mining companies have failed and what led to their failure? How possible is it for my company I want to invest into will also collapse the same way? Lastly, let's talk about putting your research, your stock research into context. It's important to consider historical data, industry, comparison as well, and build it into a story that makes sense to you. When you have done all the four questions about operation and look into all the six factors and finances, try to put them all together to tell a story and compare that story to historical data as well. Meaning now you are going to be researching the industry that your company is in and try to see, does the story that you have compiled based on your research make sense in terms of historical data of that field or that market? Look at historical data to give you insight into the company's future growth, the reaction to challenges, and long-term performance. Compare the company's financial numbers and ratios to industry average as well. If your company's ratio and financial number sitting at, for example, let's say 25, and the industry average is 50%, what does that tell you? compare your company's performance, compare your company's operation to similar companies throughout the globe as well, throughout Africa as well, throughout South Africa as well. This will help you understand the position in the market your company is sitting in. Many brokers offer research tools as well. I know EasyEquity has a lot of articles right about stock screeners, what stock screeners to use, how companies are performing. Also use that. Take advantage of those resources to gain a broader perspective into the company you're investing into. And before we end, please, everything I said, it's not financial advice, it's only for educational purposes. I just have to emphasize that. And that is today's episode of the Student Investor Podcast with Ivan Sambo. We have covered the essential steps to researching a company before you invest into their shares. Remember, an informed decision are key to successful investment. So thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Student Investor Podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes to come, and thank you so much for keeping supporting the podcast, sharing the podcast, sharing the story, sharing the journey we are on investing for our future. As always, until next time, stay safe and happy investing. Take care.